Leviticus 25, verse number 10, says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." That is a beautiful verse of Scripture. And I was thinking to myself this morning, who would utter a word against that? Who in their right mind would say, no, we don't want liberty throughout all the land. We want tyranny throughout all the land. Yet it seems as if tyranny and oppression is gaining while freedom and individual liberty is being suppressed. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and I want to thank you for listening in today, tuning in to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. There are several people who take their lunch a little bit early, and they tell me that they make it a point to listen in every Tuesday at this same time on WATA, and then there are those that listen on Saturday on WZAP as well. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and I'd like to take a moment to invite you to come be with us, visit us if you're in the area. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love for you to come and be with us in any or all of our services. And we have a church website that has all of our information on it, mountlebanonbc.org. I want to say good morning to Noah. He's here with us today. Noah, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. And we do want to say welcome to all our listeners, those listening in out of Boone, North Carolina, right here on AM 1450 WATA. Those who listen in on AM 690 WZAP out of Bristol, Virginia. And also those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate, once again, all of our listeners, and we have been studying signs of the times. I'm going to get right into it today. I have more material or information than we could possibly get out in 30 minutes, but we're going to try our best to look at this subject today, go a little bit further on the subject, signs of the times. Well, why would we even study anything like this? The reason behind it is that you might see the truth. The Bible says in John chapter 8 and verse number 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If you really see the truth of the Word of God, see how specific that it is, and how that these signs are literally happening in the day and time in which we live. It is our prayer that you would see the truth concerning the whole Word of God, concerning the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah, is the Messiah, that He is coming again according to His Word, that He did die upon the cross of Calvary. He was buried. He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And so we want you to see the truth concerning the Bible, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. If you know the truth shall set you free. No truth, no freedom. But when you have truth, you have freedom, the greatest kind of freedom, and that's eternal life. So we're studying the subject, signs of the times. We are looking at specifics, not just generalities. For example, what I mean by that, somebody might say, well, what about the typhoon in the Philippines? That is surely a sign of the times. I'm sure that you have heard about that great storm. I cannot remember the name of it right now, but just a massive storm. I believe I've heard from several different sources that it is the most, or was the most powerful storm to ever be recorded since they've been keeping track of such things. There are probably, they don't know the death toll yet, but everything I've read said 10,000 people. There's probably going to be at least 10,000 people that have been killed by this storm. Just a terrible, terrible situation there in the Philippines. There's going to be untold numbers that will get sick. that will have hardships for years to come. As a result of this storm, one survivor, I read a newspaper article, one survivor said that they thought that it was literally the end of the world. Well, somebody might say that is a sign of the times. Well, that could be. I said that to say this. One thing you need to remember when studying the Bible and talking about latter-day signs or end-time prophecies, end-time events, the end times biblically are not identified by a sign as in one thing, but many things happening simultaneously, many things happening in clusters together or very close together, signs as in plural, more than one. So we're not talking about, when we're talking about biblically signs of the times, we're not talking about one thing. But as we're doing this study, we're pointing out there are many things that are going on in the world right now that point to what the Bible says, the latter days or the end times. So far, we're just going to quickly go over the things that we have looked at. We have said, number one, there is mockery or scoffing concerning the Lord's return. There is, number two, we've looked at apostasy. Number three, we've looked at false teachers. These are things we've already studied. Last weekend, there was an article in the Sunday paper about the rise of mega churches in America, mega churches for atheists. Isn't that interesting that there would be, I don't even know why they would call them or if they call them churches, but atheists, hundreds getting together all over the country, and they are getting together based on their unbelief, not their belief. How interesting that is. We said also, number four, there's spiritualism, a rise of demonism in the last days. We see the prevalence in society, the fascination with things otherworldly, whether that would be a fascination with aliens from outer space, demons, Satanism, the occult, vampires, zombies, all things in that category. We see just people are fascinated with these types of things. Then we said last week, perilous times, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And we could take 5 weeks and study those 5 verses there in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and never exhaust that list. There's 20 things that characterize the perilous times that we are now living in. Now today, we're going to look at the subject of heaped up treasure. We've gotten these from this list of 10 things we're going to look at, 10 signs of the times from a book called Dispensational Truth. It was copyrighted in 1918, and it's the last chapter in the book. It talks about signs of the times. Well, I thought it would be interesting to study these out. Are these really going on? Here we are 100 years later, and so far, yes, all of these things are happening or have happened in these days in which we live. Some of them were not so much in Mr. Larkin's day when he wrote the book, but 100 years later, yes, every one of them. Well, heaped up treasure. Do you know the Bible has much to say about the economy, the state of the economy in the last days? And we're going to read from James chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. I won't be able to look at every phrase in this, but it's a great study. What we're looking at today will probably make you angry. It'll probably upset you if you really study this out and think about what it's saying. I highly recommend that you read or study Psalms chapter 37, verses 1 through 16 sometime today, or maybe read it when you get home if you don't have an opportunity right now. It starts out and it says, "Fret not thyself because of evil doers." That's Psalms 37, verse number 1. And there's a lot of evil doers, and there's a lot of evil going on round about us. Well, James chapter 5, verse 1, "Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you." Now, I want to say in getting started, I don't want to come across as rich versus poor, or that being rich makes you evil, being poor makes you righteous. No such thing in the Word of God. Being rich is not a sin. There are many rich people in the Bible. There are many righteous people in the Bible that were rich. That's the way I want to say that. Many righteous people in the Bible that were rich. Abraham, Joseph, he came from very poor, but God blessed him. He ended up being very rich in the end, or towards the end of his life. There's David, King David. There's Job in the Bible. Job had a lot of trials and tribulations. Job was a very rich man if you study about his life. Solomon, none richer than Solomon in the Bible. Joseph of Arimathea, the man that came and took the body of the Lord Jesus Christ down from the cross, evidently was a man of means. He had a garden tomb near Golgotha. He took the body of the Lord Jesus, placed it in his own tomb, and took care of that. So there's rich people in the Bible. The question concerning where the Lord is concerned, how did a person get rich, and what do they do with their riches? That is what the Lord is concerned with. That is what James is concerned with. So he has a warning for these rich men. And verse 2 said, "Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire." These rich men had, and the title to our lesson today is Heaped Up Treasure. They had mounds and mounds and stacks and piles of treasure that the Lord said through his word would be a witness against them. And then there's this little phrase in the last part of verse number 3. He said, "Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." There we have that reference to the last days. Verse 4 said, "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields," this is your employees, "which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter." That refers to their opulent, luxurious lifestyles that they were living. Verse 6, "Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." So we're going to look at these verses today and this subject of heaped up treasure for the last days. Now, biblically, you study this out in James' day. We're looking in the book of James. There was basically no such thing as a middle class. Now, there always has to be a middle class. There has to be a middle manager. There has to be a go-between between the very, very rich and the very, very poor. And in James's day, that middle man, that middle class, was very, very small. Most people were either extremely poor, to the point that they were slaves, even servants, or on the other end of the spectrum, they were extremely rich. When you have freedom in society, it brings a lot of blessings along with it. And one of those blessings of freedom, and this can be proved historically, is economic prosperity. For example, what I mean by that, if you look at America, what you see in America, once upon a time, the United States of America could boast of the largest. wealthiest, most prosperous middle class of any nation in the world. What I mean by that, more people could be employed. Anybody that wanted a job could have a job. Anybody that wanted a good job could work hard and get a what we call a good job. They could have a savings account. I remember when I was growing up and we learned in math about compound interest, and you could start a savings account in a bank and you'd actually earn interest on that. Now that's gone now. I mean, you put money in the bank, you're not going to make anything off of it. But once upon a time in America, you could just have a simple savings account and you would make money just by saving money. You could have a savings account. You could have a career that had benefits, vacation days, retirement, start a business, make a living off your own land, farming, forestry, something like that, depending on how much land that you had, raising livestock, things of this nature. You could own a home in America, retire comfortably, send their children to college, all these things we could put under the category. If you hear somebody talk about the American dream, well, that could summarize what is the American dream, all those things and many more. But now, according to the Bible, the last days will see all of these economic blessings. The power of the middle class is going to disappear. And the middle class is going to move into the category of poverty. The rich are going to get richer. The powerful are going to get more powerful. The super rich are going to take the money of what we would now classify as the rich, and they're going to end up with not just the middle class, but the lower part of the scale of people who would be considered rich. The rich will get richer. Everybody in the middle is going to move into the poverty class, and we're already a long ways down that road. In America, in the past 5 or 6 years, somewhere along in there, look at unemployment. Unemployment is at, if you really look at the hard, real numbers, it's about the Depression days. Talking about the Great Depression in this country among young people, it is high among, unemployment, seeing record numbers. More people are on food stamps than's ever been on before in America. The people are not getting better off. They're worse off than they ever have been. More people on food stamps. Foreclosures are up. Bankruptcies are up. On and on we could go talking about what is happening to wealth in America. Well, what is the reason behind this? That'd be a good way to put it. Why are people having a harder time? Why is it that your money is not going as far as it did just a few short years ago? Well, let's look at verse number 4. Verse 3 said, "Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days." There's some that are gaining and heaping up and stockpiling and have more than they've ever had before. But it's not that way with those in the middle. It said in verse 4, "Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud." Which is of you kept back by fraud. How come you have less than you did just a few years ago? There's this little word fraud that we're going to look at. The word fraud, if you look it up, F-R-A-U-D, look it up in the Webster's Dictionary, it means deceit, deception, a trick by which the right or interest of another is injured, an attempt to gain over another by imposition or immoral means, particularly by deception in contracts or bargain and sale. If you really found out today how much of your wealth is the money that you have. That is what you get for your labor. That's your wealth, your money, your assets, the things that you have that are paid for, that are truly yours. all of those things go into the category of assets. Your wealth, when you work and you get paid, that top line, you've worked for all of that. Well, we know we don't bring home the top line. We bring home a little portion of that. If you really knew how much of your wealth is being stolen and has been stolen by fraud in your lifetime, in my lifetime, it would just make you sick. This is one Bible study that if you don't study it in the proper light, with spiritual eyes, it'll just make you mad. It'll make you angry. You really study about it. Examples of fraud. He's talking here in James chapter 5 about money being stolen, kept back by fraud. That's deceit, trickery, thievery. We could give many examples. For example, are you a property owner? Are you listening into the sound of my voice? You may own property. Is it your property? Do you have the deed for your property in your hand, in a safe place? You know what I'm saying. You might say, I have a couple of acres. I have 10 acres. I have whatever. Are you a property owner? You know what? You might think it's yours, but it's only yours if you pay the protection money on that to keep the state from taking it from you. I said protection money. I meant property tax. Yeah, it's only yours if you pay the property tax upon that. What you're doing, you are actually paying the state a yearly fee. It is set by them. It is based upon their evaluation of what they think your land is valued at or worth. They're the ones that sets the rate. And in order to keep your land, you've got to pay that property tax. If you don't pay that property tax, you say, that's mine. That's mine. Well, you just try not paying that property tax that they have put upon you. See, our country at one time had a revolution over these things, but we are so accustomed to being robbed and fraud in our system that we don't even think anything about it. But is that right, that somebody else would charge you year after year after year, and they say, we need a little more, and you basically have no recourse whatsoever? You pay or you're going to lose it, or you're going to have to pay big fines. Time would fail me to mention all of the thievery, all of the fraud that goes on. There's the income tax in America. We say, well, how would we make it without an income tax? Well, they made it for well over 100 years without an income tax. This year, 2013, is the 100-year anniversary of the income tax. Celebrating 100 years of fraud and theft of the American people, criminal intimidation by the IRS. Boy, the IRS has had a lot of good publicity lately with all of their scandals going on. If you're a conservative, if you don't agree with everything that goes on in the government and you are vocal about it, look at how the IRS is being used. Well, Obamacare is going to bring about an increase in personnel in the IRS. Isn't that a blessing? There's going to be more of them. They're armed. They have the ability to do anything they want to you, and they're probably going to get away with it, and you're going to have little to no recourse whatsoever. Income tax is fraud. Social Security. Boy, I would love, what if you were able to keep all that money that you've paid in down through the years? So you have no choice in this matter. What if you said, I think I could invest that. I think I could save that. I think I could do better handling my own retirement than the government can. Well, you know what? You have no choice in the matter. If you're going to work, you're going to pay. You're going to pay in like everybody else. It's fraud. It's fraud because I've paid in all my life, but it's gone. They have raided that fund many years ago. and those my age and younger, if you think there's going to be money left for you at the end, you're sadly mistaken. And to continue to take it is fraud. I mean, once upon a time, they honestly said, you know, we're gonna set this back. There's going to be something for you. But when you come to the place where you realize it's not there, it's not been there, and it's not going to be there unless something drastically changes, it is fraud, it is theft, it's a Ponzi scheme, call it whatever you want to, but it's wrong, and it would come under the category of fraud. There's income tax, Social Security, there's Medicaid, Medicare, Obamacare, all of these things that are going on in our day and time. If it is so great, why is all of America being forced into this thing at the point of a gun? Why is the IRS involved? Why call you a customer? You know, when you don't have a choice in the matter, how does that make you a customer? You are a participant. Some are a unwilling participant in lots of things that goes on in our society. You're going to be involved in this whether you like it or not. Now, there's other things we could say, well, I don't like that. Say if you don't like the idea of car insurance. See, that's another fraud that goes on. You're going to pay a lot more in over the course of your driving lifetime than you are ever going to be liable for. But if, what if you said, well, I just don't like that, it's fraud, then you don't have to drive. But this health thing that's going on, there's no opting out. There's no saying, you know what, I don't want anything to do with it. I could save my money. I could do better. No, you're not going to be able to do that because you're going to be involved in the fraud whether you like it or not. Well, not all frauds are government involvement, but the government is involved in all of them, seems like. Other things we could mention, credit cards, interest-only loans, reverse mortgages. Have you seen those commercials that says, don't worry about it, it's government-backed? You ought to scream and run away as fast as you can. The stock market is another example of fraud that goes on. I have a book in my library. It's called Memoirs of Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds. And it's by a man named Charles McKay. It's copyrighted in 1852. It's talking about the history of stock markets. And there's a paragraph in that book. He's talking about what went on in the country of France. And he said when they introduced the stock market, and a lot of people lost money when it started out. But he said new houses were built in every direction, and illusory prosperity shone over the land and so dazzled the eyes of the whole nation that none could see the dark cloud on the horizon announcing the storm that was too rapidly approaching. There was a headline yesterday that talked about that the stock market was up, I forget, it's like 100, it's way up, 108%, something like that, and seemed like people cannot see the dark cloud on the horizon. History does repeat itself. There's no end to scams and schemes and things that goes on along those lines. Verse 6 said, "Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you." That is the aim of a tyrant, to make you so poor, so defeated, defenseless, drugged, downhearted, diseased, dependent, that you have no resistance left in you whatsoever. James 4:7 says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." It's not wrong to resist the devil in any form whatsoever that he appears. The greatest heist of all time is in the making, and it's the stealing of all the money in the world. We'd have to get into the book of Revelation to see that, but it is happening all round about us. Well, we ought to be dependent upon the Lord. Time's caught us. Thank you for listening. Noah's going to give the contact information.
You've been listening to Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church that's located in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.